It's great to be meeting together. We here at St. Thomas's are beginning this new year with reflections from the Old Testament on the new hope, the anticipation that is there in these passages from the Old Testament that look forward to a new age, a new future, a new era, new blessing and transformation. And as we do this, we remember that Christianity is about transformation. It's about change. We don't become believers and remain the same. We don't exhort people to come and not be changed. But Christianity is about renewal, transformation, and hope. And so it's right as we begin this new year that we begin with passages like this one, Psalm 96, that John has read for us. I'm going to pray as we turn our minds to this psalm, Psalm 96. Our Father, we ask that by your Spirit you might be working in our hearts, in our minds, in our wills, to so transform us, renew us, and change us by your word. We ask that you might make us people who desire to praise you, to declare your greatness to each other and to the nations. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've already met several new people here this morning. It's great to see you here. And it's a time of year where we welcome lots of folk to our church, and it's wonderful that you're here. Every week here at St. Thomas's, we spend a good amount of our time reflecting on what God says to us in his word, and it's a great help to us all if you keep that passage, Psalm 96, open as well. This is a psalm that is a call to praise the Lord. You can see that in verse number 2. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Or down in verse 4, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. But what does that mean? Praise can just become Christian jargon. Someone's going through a hard time and you put a hand on the shoulder and you say, praise the Lord. What do I do? When we're called to praise the Lord, what do we do next? Do we just stand there and say, praise the Lord? Well, what I hope we'll see in this psalm this morning, and there's actually a rich content and depth to that command to praise the Lord. And it's there in this psalm for us. And what we'll see is that this call is not just a call for us to tell God how wonderful he is, which is a good thing for us to do, but also a call for us to tell others how great God is. And I think we'll see that really clearly in this psalm. There are three parts to the psalm, which is proof that it's not just preachers who divide the material into three points, but here God's word itself. Three points, three parts to this psalm. Verses 1 to 3 is the how. How do we praise the Lord? Verses 4 to 6, the why. Why do we praise the Lord? And then the last part of the psalm, what? What do we say when we praise the Lord? How, why, and what? First of all, verses 1 to 3, how we praise God. The first question we need to ask is, who is this psalm being spoken to? Who is hearing this command to sing a new song, to sing all the earth, sing, praise his name, proclaim salvation day after day? And one of the clues as to who it is the name that's used for God at this point. You can see it in your Bibles with that capital Lord, which translates that personal name of God, which God gave to his people in the Exodus as he saved them and took them through the sea and out of Egypt. He gave them this name, Yahweh, as his name. Sing to Yahweh a new song. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Sing to Yahweh, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. This is the God that has saved them and that has praised his name. This is God's people who are being addressed in this psalm. Another clue is what the praise is. And you can see this in verse number 2. Now, Hebrew poetry works a bit like this. You can see in verse 2, you've got two parts to that verse. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, first part. Second part, proclaim his salvation day after day. In Hebrew poetry, those two things aren't different ideas bringing new material, they're explaining one another. The author of this psalm is saying to us what it means to praise God is to proclaim his salvation day after day. To praise God is to proclaim his salvation. Verse 3 goes on, declare his glory. Where? Among the nations. Declare his glory among the nations. That is to praise God. His marvelous deeds, declare them among all peoples. That is how you praise God. So this command is a command given, an exhortation given to God's people to praise him by declaring his glories to all the nations. To praise is to declare, it's to broadcast, it's to sing out God's wonderful, gracious, saving acts to anyone who'll listen. That's what this psalm is asking us to do. See, praise here is not a private, individual, personal thing. Praise here is very public. It's about declaring, it's about speaking, it's about exhorting, it's about pointing people to the greatness and the glory of God. Most modern Christians tend to think of praise as a personal encounter with God, very emotional. We speak and we sing to God to tell him how greatly we honour him and love him. And if we do that in a church building, all the better. That's not what's being talked about here. The word praise in the Bible is much more basic than that. It's just the word for observing something excellent in someone else and telling others about it. I noticed that Ali, our children's minister, who many of you know, I noticed that Ali is gentle with the children, kind with the leaders, passionate to see the kids of St. Thomas's grow up to know the Lord Jesus Christ better. And so I stand up here and I praise her. That's what this is talking about. That's praise, telling forth as loudly, as widely as possible how great God is, how wonderful what he has done is for all the peoples, for all the nations. And the word proclaim here is the word that's used for a herald, verse 2. A herald who goes out after a battle has happened, goes back and tells the great news of victory. It's the same sort of word that's used in the New Testament to describe the evangelist, the gospel that goes out. You could just as easily translate verse 2, sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim the gospel of salvation day after day. See, mission is worship. Evangelism is praise. This mission, this evangelism is not a chore. It's an outpouring, like you see in this psalm, of having experienced God's greatness, having seen his glory, and it overflows to others. And we're told this is a new song, a new song. In the Bible, whenever God acts to bring about new and wonderful salvation, it produces a new song amongst God's people. You may remember when God rescues his people in the Exodus, he takes them through the sea, out the other side, redeems them from slavery, and what do they do when they get to the far shore of the... They sing a new song. This is a psalm of faith. This is a psalm that looks forward to a day in the future when God will have so acted again to save and rescue and redeem his people that they will sing a new song. A new song of salvation at what God has done. And we get to Revelation chapter 5 and we hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 5. They in heaven sing a new song about Jesus. They sang a new song. You are worthy, Jesus, to take the scroll, open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And so they sing a new song. See, in the light of what Jesus has done for us if we're believers, we ought to have this new song in our hearts that pours out in a declaration to all the peoples, to all the nations, that God is great and look what he's done for me and look what he can do for you. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the Saviour. Let me tell you about that. That's the song, the new song that's in our hearts. Well, that's the first part of the psalm, how we praise God, by declaring his greatness and his glory and salvation to the nations. Why? Why do we do it? Why do we praise God? The answer is quite simple. We praise God because of who God is in comparison to every other rival. See that in verse 4? Declare God's glory among all those nations, for, verse 4, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty before him, strength and glory are in his sanctuary. See, God is worthy of praise, to be respected, to be feared, to be revered. Because unlike all those false gods, he is real and he made the heavens. The heavens, the stars or the planets that those pagans would bow down and worship as gods, the Lord God made them all. Why do we go out and tell others? Because they need to. They have to worship the true and living God. The Lord reigns in majesty. And so we tell them. Over the New Year period, Amy and I and the kids went down to Tasmania and visited with her sister and husband who lived just south of Hobart. And it was great. We just sort of had a second Christmas with the other side of the family. Got the turkey and the hats and everything, the crackers, on about the 4th of January, I think it was. Did it all again. But both Chloe and Lee, sister-in-law and brother-in-law, both police officers, and we arrived there on Friday the 3rd of January. And they're called off later on in the week. They've got an urgent message for those people who at this point are trying to get back to their homes. And their message is, it's not safe to return. There's danger ahead. Trust us. We have the truth that you need to heed. And they go off and work 16-hour shifts, manning these spots so people don't go back to their homes. See, we have a message far more profound about a far greater danger, but we hold a far greater truth and hope. Yahweh, the Lord, to be feared above all gods. But for us, what are these gods? What are the gods of our age? What are the idols? We have gods that play the same role as those stone and wood idols of the ancient world. Like the stars and the spirits of the primitive tribes. We have the same gods. Although we're a little bit more subtle and sophisticated. We turn good things that God has given us into God things. We worship created things rather than the Creator. We look for other things to deliver our hope, our salvation, our meaning, our purpose in life, apart from the true and living God. And those things become our gods. They become our idols. We have the gods of career, the gods of superannuation and investment, the gods of comfort, sex, travel, family. They're the gods and idols of our society. And too often you and I, even as believers, bow down and worship those false gods. Good things that we put on a pedestal and turn into gods. And we serve them, we abandon them, we abandon others, we abandon God in order to serve those false gods. And when our pathetic fake gods don't deliver, when retirement plans crumble, when family life breaks down, when careers go backwards, when wealth is lost, we're not just disappointed. We're shattered, we're broken. We've lost our purpose and meaning because they weren't just good things that become gods to us. That's idol worship. That is bowing down to false gods just as much as the pagans that we read about in this psalm. What do we need to do? We, you and I, need to say to one another. We need to praise God to one another. We need to praise God with the words of this psalm. We need to say to one another, God, the true and living God, is greater than all of that. Serve him. Trust him. Find your rest. Find your salvation. Find your hope in him, not in those false gods. This is why we must praise God, because people need to be rescued from their slavery to false gods. And we need to do that with those around us in our community too, don't we? In our family, in our workplace, in our suburbs. We need to praise God to them. Tell them of his greatness, his uniqueness, his glory, and the hope. That's not a burden, is it? That's a joy, an outpouring of what we've experienced in God himself. Well, that's the first two parts. The last part of the psalm is the what. What do we say when we declare God's glory to the nations, to the peoples? The how, the why, and now the what. And you can see that in these verses, the basic idea is that the exhortation is to come and worship God, the true and living God. Come and worship him, all the earth. Urging people to a humble recognition of who they are, of what they've done, of their brokenness, of a renewed repentance they need to bring to God himself. Verse 8 says, bring an offering and come into his courts. This is what we say, bring an offering and come into his courts. What did that mean at the time of the psalm? Well, it's pretty clear in those days. What you did is you got a lamb without blemish and you brought it to the priest, and the priest would sacrifice that lamb, would pour out the lamb's blood, and God's wrath would figuratively have fallen on the lamb, not upon you, in the courts of the temple. What does that mean for us today? Well, for Lance Armstrong, it's Oprah. The Sitting on a Herald describes his interview with Oprah in these words. Lance Armstrong entered the church of Oprah, genuflected, bowed down, begged for forgiveness, and laid bare an extraordinary career built on a lie. The world watched, Twitter buzzed, Lance conceded, and to an extent, Oprah forgave. The answer of the Bible is that the offering has been made. Jesus was the sacrifice once for all in the courts of the great temple. And so that when we come to God, we bring an offering that has already been made. We don't bring our own works, our own strengths, our own spiritual life. We bring the perfect offering of the Lord Jesus Christ into his courts, and God looks at us and gives us life. But there's more to what we say than just the hope, the offering. Verse 10, what do we say among the nations? Verse 10, say among the nations when you praise God to them, the Lord reigns, Yahweh reigns. The world is firmly established, it cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. We tell the nations, we tell those around us, we tell our family, the Lord reigns. Don't fool yourself that you reign. Don't fool yourself that you are in charge of your own destiny. That there's no judge, there's no accountability. The Lord reigns, and he will judge the peoples with equity. Perfectly, the justice that we long for will come. To say that the Lord reigns, to say that the gods whom the nations worship don't reign. To say that the Lord reigns is to say that the gods that you'll set up in your life don't work, They don't reign. They don't save you. They don't deliver. Only God does. And the psalm finishes with all of creation, all of nature singing to God, singing before the Lord, verse 13. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and his peoples in truth. Can you just imagine that image that the psalm gives us here of all of nature urging itself forward to that day when God will come and bring the judgment, bring the righteousness that we long for? All of creation surges forward to that day. When is that day come? We read in John chapter 5, didn't we, that Jesus comes. And the Father doesn't judge, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. That day of judgment, Jesus says, is coming and even now has begun. As people hear the word of Jesus and either reject it or accept it. Jesus says, don't be amazed, for a time is coming when all those who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who've done good, and by good Jesus means those who've heard the word of Jesus and put their trust in him, will rise to live, and those who've done evil will rise to be condemned. Jesus is our judge. He will judge with perfect justice. But he's also the Saviour, the judge who's come early to bring life. That is what we declare to the nations. That is what we say as we praise God to the peoples. That's what this psalm wants from us, to sing a new song. Well, you can set it to music if we like. It doesn't have to be set with music. The praise here is not the music. The praise is the content. The praise is the words. The praise is the declaration of the wonderful salvation, but also of the judgment to come. What greater reason to sing a new song of salvation than what Jesus has done? To praise God to one another in this congregation, in our small groups. To praise God to the nations, declaring his wondrous deeds. To praise God for his mercy, to speak of his grace, to long for his justice, and to declare this great hope. Praise the Lord who reigns. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask that you might be so transforming us that we might heed this word of yours, that we might sing this new song, declare your praises, that we might know ourselves your glory and the wonders of your salvation, that we might speak to one another in this congregation to encourage each other to turn away from false and petty gods to worship you, the true and living God. We pray that you might give us boldness to declare to the nations, to the peoples of this earth, your glory, your greatness, the life, and also the judgment. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.